At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to another episode of the Kosafa Show, which comes just days after the draw for the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers that has shown our sides in the region their path to the finals in the Ivory Coast next year.
We also get the views of South Africa coach Hugo Bruce on their draw, while Kosafa General Secretary Sude Tome gives us an update on the proposed schedule of tournaments for 2022 in what is set to be another bumper year.
But first, Malawi have recently handed the national team coaching reins to their technical director, Mario Manikia, who is now tasked with building on the team's good showing at the recent Africa Cup of Nations finals in Cameroon. He reacts to his team's draw for the 2023 qualifiers and explains how he intends to improve the Flames in the years to come.
Well, like all the draws actually happen, you cannot say that they're easy draws or extremely difficult draws, but ours seems to be, you know, extremely complicated one. Well, it's a shame that all these four teams have been playing in AFCON and two of them are going to miss. So that's really pity. I think that all the four teams, they exhibited good football in AFCON. And said it will be a shame that two of them are going to miss it.
Do you think it's possible for a top two finish there? I mean, that certainly looks well within your capabilities.
Well, if you're to say Egypt and Guinea in terms of football terms, you think straight away of Salah and Keita, that speaks volumes. Actually, you know, that makes the task extremely difficult for any coach here, and never mind any teams that are going to face them. So obviously, you know, it's a mammoth task. And also, not that much things have been changed in AFCON. Our 28 players card is still worth about 4.5 million. And if you were to compare with the worth of other squads we face in a group, it's massive. However, like in AFCON, with hard work, great determination, very well prepared, we'll have our chances and we'll have to fight for our chances.
Yeah, Coach, you talk about there about the Nations Cup in Cameroon. Surely that must give you confidence that you can take this team to another finals. Just the displays and, as you say, the heart and that was on show in that tournament.
Yes, indeed. I said, you know, not that much things has been changed. Unfortunately, our, for example, top player, Gabadino Mango, like in AFCON, is still not a regular for his team. But like in AFCON, we believe in him and we believe in every single player out of 28 we choose. We think that by working hard, being organized, we have our chances. So therefore, we believe in our chances.
That was a question that we had for you about the regularity of playing time at club level for players like Mhango, players like Limbikani and Mzava. How much of a worry is that for a national team coach when big star players like that are not competing week in, week out?
Well, obviously, it's not easy. It's extremely difficult because in the end of the day, I think you have to draw a little bit of line. We are not really that much coaches. We are more like a selectors at the national team level because basically you get the players maybe 3-4 days, 7 days before the match. And on top of that, you know, the players are traveling from their, you know, clubs to whatever, you know, the camp it is. It's about a bit of adaptation and there's not that much, let's say, coaching to be done. So therefore, you rely on selecting players on merit, selecting players on form, and sometimes when these players are not playing regular, it makes a very difficult task. So yes, it is a worry, but in the end of the day, you know, we have to do with the best players we have on that time. And like in AFCON, we are the team with the most players that actually played in a local league. We had 14 players out of 28, and that probably is going to happen even now. So not much things has been changed, and we hope that like in AFCON will prevail.
Coach, there was not a single player over the age of 30 in your Cup of Nations squad in Cameroon. Does that suggest that there is further growth possible within this group, or does this new cycle of qualifiers for the 2023 AFCON and the 2026 World Cup provide a chance to bring in new players?
Well, actually, we have embarked into a huge project since I come as a technical director. And all of this project just been approved yesterday by FIFA on a talent development scheme, where actually we'll run a pilot project developing new talent and with talent identification, Malawi, based on our football philosophy of playing fast and very fast. So, yes, some players are going to be looking to bring, you know, some fresh legs, if you want to put, you know, new faces. But on the other hand, as I said, all the players that they've been in AFCON, they've been there on merit. So the same thing we're going to apply now. So, yes, we are very, very open to new and young talent. But at the same time, we cannot disregard players that, regardless of their age, if they are on form.
Coach, let's talk about your two roles, technical director and also coach. First, on the technical director side, what have you found are still the priorities that you need to put in place to try and improve Malawian football?
Well, talking about these two dual roles, actually now they are about to finish, because based on the executive committee decision, now I would be a full-time coach, national team coach, however, with some input into all the football development in the country as well. But so we'll have a new technical director very soon. So from that point of view, things are going to be a little bit different. However, from my coming, one of the key aspects was to identify strengths and weaknesses of Malawians as a footballing nation. Some of them I knew before because I had the luxury to work with some players in the past. So by doing that, we look to identify a philosophy, which actually now we are implementing at all levels. And we hope that will get us in years to come at the same level with other African countries that actually they have and they are producing fantastic players like, Egypt and Guinea, Aib, Salah and Keita.
Coach, you talked there earlier about having the most home-based players at the Nations Cup in Cameroon. What is your assessment of the Malawian league and the quality therein?
Well, I could say that the league is a little bit stretched. I think the number of teams is a little bit, there are too many compared to the growth and the economic input of the country. So therefore, probably some teams are a bit of diluted in terms of, the talent available at the moment in the country. So that actually, makes the league itself a little bit weaker, having only sometimes this happens everywhere, to have only one or two teams that they are competing for these, titles. Also, it's not easy that our second team, Silver Strikers, financially, they couldn't compete in CAF competition. So it's not easy, obviously, Malawi is the second poorest country in Africa, so financially it's not easy to have a strong league as well.
It has been one of the oddities of African football that Malawi is very inconsistent in terms of its entries of clubs into African club competition. I mean, that's been the case for 20, 30 years now. We did see big bullets this year, and they played against AmaZulu, of course, in the first round of the Champions League. But is that going to continue now, the scenario that you've just painted, an infrequent participation by Malawian clubs, or do you see a situation where you must actually compete every single year in order to gain the experience necessary, surely?
Well, absolutely. You know, that's something is, you know, obvious. But on the other hand, you know, you cannot ignore the financial constraints that are in a country, you know. It's part and parcel of what actually you have on the ground, unfortunately.
Now, Coach, the CASAFA Cup is set for Durban in July. How important is this competition for you? And do you foresee yourself bringing your strongest possible squad to that tournament? Or will you, again, look to perhaps bring in some new players and give them a run at international level?
Well, that will have to be decided. I haven't, you know, decided yet. Also, you know, at the moment, I said I just like been named as a you know, head coach. So the technical panel is not yet assembled. So you know, we have to discuss, and also we have to make a decision at the executive committee as well to see where actually are we. But however, regardless if we have you know, a younger squad or a fresh squad, we'll go there, you know, to compete. You know, always in my life, any single match, you know, I try to approach, which, you know, I try to approach to win it. Simple as that. So basically, you know, to me, it doesn't exist this kind of, you know, going somewhere just to compete. You know, recently, for example, we had the under-23 development squad in Turkey, which actually we had players 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22. So we already looked into this kind of aspect. We are in a way ready, but we'll have to make a decision close to the time.
What is the situation as far as the junior teams are concerned with Malawi? Do you see some real talent coming through at under 17, under 20 level?
Well, that's actually, if you see this program, we put together this pilot project into football development squad and has been just approved by FIFA. We see it as a massive opportunity for us to discover new talent. So obviously, if you're to look based on the past, we have produced some good players, but probably the number is not good enough. And also the quality, you know, if you're to compare that our players that are playing in, you know, different leagues that actually, you know, they're not competing, you know, these leagues with European leagues that our opponents are playing. So we need to slowly build up and, you know, to start matching these opponents.
Coach, you're obviously very experienced and have worked in a number of different countries. Just your experience of working in Africa and the different challenges that presents compared to back in Europe?
Well, first of all, is the decision making to the implementation. It takes longer. Also, obviously, you have financial constraints. And at the same time, you have, if you're to look, the modern technology that you apply in Europe, and unfortunately, you cannot apply everywhere or most of the time in Africa. So that's a fact. Also, is that sometimes, you know, part of cultural, you know, experiences, things are developing a little bit slower. But in the end of the day, you know, whatever it is, talent, there is talent. And if you could see, you know, that if you look to spot the talent and you nurture the talent, they become as good as, you know, if not better, you know, that so many European players.
Also on a personal level, Coach, I wanted to ask you about the experience of playing at the Cup of Nations and what Malawi achieved there in terms of going into the last 16. For you, what was that like? I mean, it certainly was a wonderful achievement for the country. And how much did you enjoy? How much? How big an experience was that for you in terms of your coaching career?
Well, it was fantastic. It's obviously, you know, lifetime experience, and only, you know, to be part of the AFCON, it was fantastic. You know, look, there are so many coaches with much, much better pedigree than myself, with much, much more experience, you know, playing experience, coaching experience, many other achievements, lots of achievements. And they haven't been to, you know, this kind of tournament. So for me, it was something massive. And, you know, I cannot take that, you know, back. So it's, you know, it's something that will stay there for life.
And the whole COVID thing that really struck your team, I mean, you had all those problems in Saudi Arabia before you arrived in Cameroon already. Potentially, if you had didn't have those COVID cases, you think you might have done a bit better? Or was the success of Malawi in reaching the last 16 a testimony to the strength and mental fortitude of the players who overcame all of these setbacks and still did what they did at that tournament?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Unfortunately, you know, I prefer not to dwell into if and buts because it was a fact. And the fact was we are very well prepared. You know, compared to Malawi experience, for example, before, with this time we had a sports psychologist. And I think all our preparation, technical, tactical, you know, the hard work of the players and, you know, all this kind of insights we had, you know, it helped us to gel together. And regardless the players, you know, we had on the pitch, all 28 players were ready. And all, you know, they performed fantastic well. Actually, you know, we had one of the most players also play. They played 24 players out of 28 in AFCON. So that proved, you know, that our selection and our you know, hard work and determination and the teamwork was, you know, fantastic. So what can I say? You know, in a way, you could say, in other words, maybe have been, you know, blessing in disguise.
Bafana Bafana coach Hugo Broos made it clear that qualifying the side for the 2023 Africa Cup of Nations was non-negotiable. He must steer them through a group that contains Morocco, Liberia, and, should their FIFA suspension be lifted in time, Zimbabwe. Here are his thoughts on that and what sort of squad he is looking to assemble.
It's clear that Morocco is the best team in our group. They were in AFCON in January, were eliminated by Egypt. And it's a very good team. I know maybe Morocco, the best of our group. There are some players who are playing in Belgium, like Amala, like Tissoudali, like Mahé. So I know this team very well. I think if we will want to be first in the group, we have to beat Morocco. At the other side, Zimbabwe, we played against Zimbabwe for the qualifications of the World Cup. So we know them very well. We played two times against them last year. So it's a tough team, but this is a team we have to beat. We are better than a few months ago. So I think if we can beat them twice, this will be very good for us. And Liberia is for me really a team that I don't know. I don't know the players. So it's up to us in the next weeks to look at the games of Liberia. Maybe is Liberia is the weakest team in our group, but it's always dangerous to underestimate an opponent. So for that, first of all, we're going to look at their games over their last games and see how good they are. But if we look at this group, I think, first of all, Morocco, the best team, Zimbabwe, our neighbors, very tough games also. And Liberia, normally, it has to be the weakest team in our group. It's a little bit too soon now to tell already that there will be other players or other new faces for the start of the qualifiers. There are still 2 months to go. So up to us also again in the league to see many games in the next weeks and to watch also the players who are playing abroad. There are players we know. There are some other players, one in Holland, for example, the striker that we saw his last game. So he's someone we need to look after again. And maybe the guys who are playing in Sweden. So also there, we have to look at their games and then decide if those guys can be with us in June. At the other side, again, I have several weeks now to go in the league and to watch maybe new players and to try to have a very good team to start the qualifiers in June.
COSAFA is set for a busy second half of the year with no less than 8 tournaments planned between July and December, including the flagship COSAFA Cup. General Secretary Sude Tom fills us in on all of the details.
So if we now move on to the calendar for this year, we know that COSAFA has set out a full program. We are still in a global pandemic, of course, and that could scupper plans further down the line. But are you able to run us through the tournaments that are on the schedule for now in 2022?
Sure. We've got quite a busy second half of the year. It's unfortunate that we weren't able to peg something in the first quarter, and that's certainly something that we are looking to do next year. But for this year, we are grateful to be able to be back and playing football at full strength. We start off with the COSAFA Cup, which is first week of July. In Durban. Then we move on to, again, in Durban as part of our three-year agreement with the city and with the KwaZulu-Natal provincial government. We will be back from the 4th to the 14th of August for the second edition of the zonal qualifier for the Women's Champions League. So looking forward to that and hoping that we will move from 7 teams as we were last year to 8 this year. And so look to incrementally grow that tournament. From there, we move to Nelson Mandela Bay for our senior women's national team competition, the COSAFA Women's Championship, where we will be from the 31st of August to the 11th of September in Nelson Mandela Bay. That being, a firm home of women's football. And then at the end of September, we are back in Durban for the second edition of the beach soccer, which was very successful last year, albeit we only had 6 teams, but it was successful nevertheless. And we'll be back on Durban's beaches and hoping to have 8 teams participating this year in that competition. And then we go on to our under-20 boys. This is a zonal qualifier for the AFCON under-20, which will be next year. And this will take place in Eswatini. You will remember that our under-20 tournament last year had to be postponed because of the new Omicron variant. And so it's going to Eswatini. And this year it will be featured as a qualifier, as I said. So it has a, sort of a bigger stature, if one can call it that. And then at the end of October, or looking to do it sort of last week of October, we have a brand new competition, which is the Pan-African Schools competition that COSAFA will be organizing as a zonal tournament, again, qualifying for the AFCON or the CAF, the Pan-African Schools competition that will take place in March next year. So we have 9 countries, 9 member associations out of our 14 who have engaged with CAF. They've confirmed that they will be running at a national level, the schools competition, rendering one each that will play in the zonal qualifier. So we will have 9 participants in that tournament. And then finally, last but most definitely not least, in December we come up with our under-17 girls and boys. The under-17 girls standalone competition, or shall I say, it's not a qualifier, and then the boys, the under-17 boys, is a qualifier for the AFCON under-17, which again will be held next year. And both of those tournaments, girls and boys, will take place in Malawi as part of the Region 5 game. So as you can see, July to December, hardly a month without any football being played under the auspices of COSAFA, Nick.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, it's going to be an absolute feast for those 6 months. Are we to assume also that apart from the football on the pitch, which is what many people see, that there will also be legacy events and workshops and whatnot that COSAFA will be hosting during these tournaments?
Yes, definitely. We've got some things lined up in KZN, possibly not in Durban, but in other areas. So because we are looking over the three-year partnership to be spreading the happiness and the benefit of the legacy workshops, etc., across the province as far as we can. So looking to do things there on a coaching level, administration, and possibly an under 15 tournament again. Still in the process of finding out what the province needs and would like and where. And then we'll also be doing in the Eastern Cape again, and possibly looking at other areas that we haven't tackled last year. Last year we did Nelson Mandela Bay and Mthatha. So there's a possibility that we will go to another region within the Eastern Cape. But definitely, yes, there is a legacy that we will be leaving behind, both in the two regions in South Africa, as well then as when we go to Eswatini and Malawi.
That's it then for another episode of the Kasafa Show. We will be back next week with more reaction to the Cup of Nations qualifiers draw.
Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on Sokoloduma Radio, Kasafa.tv, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also get the latest news via our website at www.kasafa.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.